Good afternoon, and welcome to another edition of Money Talk. I'm Neil Kreisel, and Diane Duvenar are your hosts every week right here on AM 1290, repeated at 11, and on Saturdays at 6. We're brought to you by Cornerstone Home Lending, whose highly trained and experienced team takes great pride in helping people with home financing, offering competitive rates and a wide array of loan programs. Arnaldi's Cafe, one of Santa Barbara's oldest and most intimate restaurants since 1937, located on the corner of Olive and Cota Street in downtown Santa Barbara. And Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm in Santa Barbara, providing its clients with the personal care and attention of a small independent firm, coupled with the vast resources of a major financial institution.
How are you doing today, Neil?
I'm doing great. Why do we say Arlington Financial Advisors is a leading wealth manager? Why don't we say is the leader?
I think you should change that.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's not
fair. I'll
have
to talk to the marketing people.
So by any chance, do we have a guest today?
We do. We are honored to have on his last day the Arlington Financial Advisors intern, Tyler Cole.
Wait a minute, his last day?
His last day at Arlington.
Oh, I thought you meant his last day, period.
No, I'm hoping he makes it till tomorrow. But no, he's on to the big city. So we'll have to learn about more after the articles.
What's the big city, by the way?
I'm going to keep you in suspense through the articles now.
Okay. So the first article that I brought in today is by Neil Irwin, who is a sort of an economic / editorialist for the New York Times. And the title of the article is "The Economy Can Take Tariffs. The Risk is an Erratic Policy." And the article begins by saying prices like steel move around all the time, and businesses are pretty good at adapting. Supply chain managers in this country and logicians are logisticians?
I thought you were going to say magicians.
No, logisticians are good at their jobs, and they can find ways of dealing with almost anything. The problem is, how do you deal with instability? How do you make adjustments when we keep changing our policy? And stability, Irwin says, is part of what differentiates rich countries from poor ones. In poor countries, it tends to be harder for businesses to make long-term investments because they don't know what tax policy or regulatory policies are going to be. But in this country, we typically have pretty stable economic outlooks, and so the businesses are able to adjust. So can you imagine a business trying to decide whether to build a big new manufacturing facility when you're not clear on what, in fact, is going to be the price of your goods? And so what Irwin is saying, whatever we're going to do in terms of tariffs, in terms of restrictive policies, it has to be very clearly defined.
That's a great article and a great headline because, as we've seen, you know, we weren't going to be putting tariffs on our allies, the EU, Mexico, and Canada, and as we all know, that has happened, and it will be interesting to watch what happens or what the fallout is from that. The market has been very volatile due to really not knowing: are we going to have policies? Aren't we going to have policy tariffs? I mean. And once the tariffs are intact, it will be interesting to see how the major geopolitical world deals with it, as well as the major multinational corporations.
But, you know, we talk about the markets, as you say, and the markets seem to be adjusting pretty well. I think the markets think that there won't be a trade war. The problem is, if you're a supply chain director, you need to really make decisions that will have long-lasting impacts on your company. So, you know, the stock market might go up, might go down, but if you're buying steel or you're buying aluminum for a can manufacturer, you need to know with some clarity what to do because it has impact on the next year or two, and that's the real problem.
Absolutely, and it's the same with the airlines. So if anyone's looking for summer travel plans, I haven't seen airfare as inexpensive in a long time to go from the West Coast to the East Coast, and part of that is because oil prices have been low for so long. They're now, you know, back up to about $70 a barrel, which most analysts say is the natural price of oil, but the airlines lock in their fuel prices, you know, at a year to 5 years out.
Well, you know, it's funny because the prices are so cheap to go back to the East Coast. The only reason I haven't gone back is I'm afraid to get my New York accent back. The next article we have is called Profit Rise Has Hidden Weaknesses. And this is one that surprised me. I wasn't really aware of this, but profits for the S&P 500 grew, according to this article, at a stunning 26.3% in the first quarter. But the Commerce Department measures corporate profits differently, and they don't include foreign earnings. And they take out the benefits from the tax cut. And believe it or not, profits in the first quarter, according to these statistics from the Commerce Department, were down 6%. And what the bottom line is that for me is the profit from tax cuts is only a small part. The bigger one is that overseas earnings, which are a substantial part of major corporate S&P 500 earnings, was the bigger driver. So when we're looking and trying to drill down on how the economy is doing, sometimes S&P profits, because of the larger component from foreign earnings, can be misleading.
Well, and what else is interesting is that oftentimes with the S&P, when you see it's up or down, it's, you know, as in the last few years, it's been most of the FANG companies that have driven the S&P 500 up. When I say that,
they're like vampires.
Yeah, kind of like vampires. Yeah, pretty much. Like Apple, you know, Netflix,
Facebook,
Google, Facebook, all the major technology companies. And so when you look at that and you look at the S&P 500, it's not all 500 companies going up. It's what's driving its growth. It was really those five companies.
Okay, the next are two articles that sort of complement each other. The first is entitled For Small Lenders, Bitcoin is a Moneymaker. And
Bitcoin.
Bitcoin. What did I say?
The currency.
Yeah, Bitcoin. You know, which is a cyber currency using blockchain. And this is sort of ties into a whole bunch of issues that are taking place. The one I'm most that is most relevant here is the cut, the reduction in the reduction, the amending of the Frank Dodd bill. And in this case, we're talking about small banks that are lending to Bitcoin exchanges. And this is really risky.
Incredibly risky.
And one of the things that really is sort of ironic is that one of the pushbacks against Frank Dodd that I find troublesome is the whole idea of using depositor money, which is FDIC guaranteed, to do proprietary trading. And one of the least known, well, less obvious issues with regulation is not just simply lending, borrowing to do proprietary trading, which I think is really not fair to the American taxpayer, but the lending on a basis of really high risk. And banks are lending to what they call crypto companies because their returns are so high. And there's a few banks, including Metropolitan Bank Holdings Corp, which owns Cross River Bank in New Jersey, where they have been struggling, quote unquote, to differentiate themselves. And here they've been able to get a foothold in what they consider to be a profitable business, but I think it has extraordinary risk.
There's a great article on Arlington Financial Advisors' website talking about Bitcoin and the Bitcoin mania. As fourth quarter of last year, many people were calling in saying, you know, should I be owning Bitcoin? And Bitcoin isn't a currency like a U.S. dollar is a currency, because its fluctuation in price is so dramatic that if you thought that your dollar was going to be worth $500 tomorrow, would you buy something with that dollar today? No, it's an investment. And so it's very murky water, like that article points out, to be using FDIC-insured dollars to be investing in this currency.
And the companion article, which is about a company called Environ, which collected $100 million from investors this year to become a Bitcoin exchange and manager, is now about to file for bankruptcy. this is just one example of sort of the risks. And in this case, because there's so little SEC regulation, this company had talked about a deal they had made with Saudi Arabia and a deal that they had made with a couple of other huge, IBM. And it turned out that they talked about it. They sent emails out to their investors, and they, in fact, never made those deals. So here's a case. So you have two articles, a bank in New Jersey saying the risk is worth taking, and then the next day an article that shows an exchange actually going under.
And for all of you out there listening, thinking, oh, I should buy some Bitcoin, the costs to get in and out of to trade Bitcoin are very high. You're looking at a 10% commission on both sides, just to buy it and just to sell it.
You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
For prospective homebuyers, one of the most important steps of the loan process is getting clear and honest information from someone who will speak plainly and truthfully about loan programs and options.
I'm Kelly Marsh, Vice President, California, of Cornerstone Home Lending, where our highly skilled and experienced team takes great pride in helping clients obtain home financing with honest, knowledgeable, fast, friendly, and efficient service. As a Santa Barbara native who has spent the past 20 years in the mortgage industry and has closed over 4,000 loans, I'd appreciate the opportunity to earn your business and invite you to visit the KellyMarshTeam.com or call my office at 805-563-1100 to learn more about how Cornerstone Home Lending can help you determine the best way to manage mortgage debt to achieve a more stable financial future.
Licensed by the Department of Business Oversight under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. California Residential Mortgage Lending Act license number 41DB072220. California Financial Lending Law license number 60DB072528. Loan originator NMLS number 245822. Not a commitment to loan. Equal housing opportunity.
Hey everyone. You know, let's all stop what we're doing right now and take a moment. That felt good, huh? Just like that, we had a nice special sort of moment together. Of course, they don't all need to be quiet moments to be special. They could be loud moments, goofy moments, sporty moments, dorky moments. Moments where we talk or walk or just hang out. It doesn't really matter. They all count. Because every time dads like us take a moment like that to spend with our kids, well, it's pretty momentous. Sounds like somebody agrees. So let's take a moment to make a moment. Today, call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Cornerstone Home Lending. Since 1988, a mortgage banker and direct lender that believes in providing in-depth loan consulting to its customers in a personalized and honest manner.
And I do have to say on Kelly's, on Kelly Marsh, the manager of Cornerstone Mortgage, she's the vice president of California, actually. She does a great job. She just took care of one of my clients. My client couldn't be happier with how she was treated, what advice she was given along the way. So I can't say enough great things about Kelly.
You said she's the vice president of California. I think she's the vice president of Cornerstone, not of California.
She's not the lieutenant governor, correct. She's the vice president of Cornerstone.
But she should be.
For the state of California.
We should write her in. Don't you think she'd be a great...
She would be a great write-in. Hey, elections are coming, right? Or just happened. So we have in studio with us Tyler Collenburn, who has been our intern at Arlington Financial Advisors on and off while he was getting his degree at Bentley University. And we are talking today about kind of the job market and what his experience has been like. Tyler, thank you so much for being here with us.
Thanks for having me.
By the way, it's really good to say to someone who works for you, thank you for being here. Where else is he going to be?
Yeah. You know, when you pay someone to be places, it's interesting.
You made him an offer he couldn't refuse.
You know, I tell people all the time at work, since I'm always on the phone there, that I have the face for radio, and now it's nice to actually be here.
Yes, good joke, good joke. So how did you get your internship at Arlington?
So I am lucky enough to live next to a wonderful woman named Diane Duva, who saw me go through college. And once I started getting towards the end of that in an economics degree, she asked if I wanted to come in for an interview, which, by the way, is still one of my favorite interviews because it was just on the fly rotation of people coming in. And I had to kind of bridge stories, engage people as they were coming in and out of the room. And once I got the go ahead from everybody else, I came in as a summer intern that year. And now somehow you can't get rid of me.
So how much responsibility would you say you had during your internship? Do you think that you were just filing, or do you think you were actually learning something, and how does that work?
I was definitely lucky enough to be there where at a time period where I got a lot of responsibility. As an intern, you got to be ready to do some of that filing work. That's kind of why you're there. But we were doing a custodian change, so we had mountains of paperwork that we had to go and do, and there just wasn't enough manpower to handle all of it. So I kind of got put on the front line right away, and that was exciting for me. I think as an intern, you have to be ready to jump in and go ahead and take care of whatever grunt work you get, and then go ahead and reach and see if there's something else that you can grab. And it kind of worked out that way for me.
Now, in looking back, because in full disclosure, Tyler is moving on, and today is his last day at work. What skills or what benefit do you think this internship at Arlington Financial Advisors has helped you or prepared you in any way for the workforce?
I mean, other than just being more acclimatized to what life is going to be after that, you know, I've had internships outside of Arlington when I was back in Boston. You know, it gets you ready for being in that corporate environment, being ready to be an employee and be successful and do that. But applicable skills is a lot of Excel work for me. A lot of client-facing work, being able to maintain customer service roles and be able to help clients on the fly. And just overall operational work as well, kind of seeing how the gears work in an industry like this. And that definitely applies through a lot of the questions I got at my next job were kind of the same of like, how did you handle these scenarios? How would you handle a client that has a problem with XYZ? And being able to do that at an internship prepared me to go and answer those questions later.
What surprises did you encounter that were not expected based just simply on academic experience? What when you go to work every day at a firm, what are the things that surprised you about that environment?
It's, you know, just kind of the argument of, you know, theory versus practice, where you can kind of look in theory and see that everything should go according to plan, but once you actually get out there and do it, it's never going to go that easy. There's always going to be some hiccup or a little wrinkle that you haven't thought of or didn't cover, because you can't cover every variable there. And so being able to be nimble on your feet and kind of adjust and be confident in the fact that you have prepared and you are ready was kind of the biggest surprise for me.
So given that working at Arlington was kind of your first foray into the financial services world, is that accurate?
Right, yeah. What did it
meet your expectations? What was different? What did you think was... it was going to be versus what it actually was?
I mean, we don't have any Gordon Geckos in the office, so it's not as, you know, deal sleds and a high office.
And I know
buildings.
you're disappointed in that.
Oh, right? No, not at all. It was a very Santa Barbara feel for me. You know, we have a very tight family there, which is very hard to leave. And I was kind of versed in how wealth management worked. I grew up in a house where my dad's kind of taught me how to manage money, and it's a slower process than Hollywood would like to make it seem, where it's about sitting there and making good investments and sitting on them for a long time. And I had recently started dabbling in my own investments right before that. So I had seen that, you know, while you want a huge return, it's not going to happen overnight. Like a 2% bump in a day is amazing. And so I was kind of ready for the pace when I made it to the desk there.
Yeah, we don't use the word dabbling in terms of sophisticated investing.
You do when you're at like 21 and have a couple thousand in the market and you're making calls based off what you think the public's going to do on Apple stock split.
Excellent point.
Yeah, I cashed in on Apple stock split and Alibaba's IPO, and that funded the next year or two of having fun in college.
So the answer is, in order to get ahead in the world, you need to be a speculative investor in order to pay for your bills.
No,
Was that the wealth management lesson you've learned?
I would highly, highly, highly disagree with that. Take your time and go get advice from the right people. Go see Diane at Arlington. And they will point you in the right direction. It's much slower, much more important to be diversified and have yourself hedged across a couple different markets, a couple different assets, rather than trying to just flip a coin. If you want to do that, you can buy Bitcoin. And you can just see how it goes up or down on the next day. But I would not recommend that.
So let's talk a little bit about your beginnings, because you're a local Santa Barbara guy and you grew up here. And you also, your dad is a business owner. And what things growing up did you see your dad and in the business kind of grapple with? And how did that shape you wanting to go into the financial services world?
It's cash flows, cash flows, and cash flows. That has been the issue I've always seen growing up. I was very close to my dad's orchid business as a kid. Like, I would travel with him all the time. I would go on routes with him all the time.
You were what we call free labor.
Yes. I don't think I was
so free.
I don't think I was free. I was racking up bills when I was a kid. But somehow that still drew me into wanting to be in, you know, money markets and be an entrepreneur as well. But Santa Barbara just kind of puts you in the position that there's a lot of money that goes around here, and you can see examples of how people do it well and how people don't do it well. And people that do it well, like I said, are people that take it a little bit slower and aren't as impulsive with their purchases, and have a plan. Like, that was something that I saw with my dad, that he always had a couple different stages and a couple different outcomes of how things could turn out, and he always knew where the next step was. You know, in the perishable industry, some things happen, like a flood that takes out your nursery, but other than that, he always knew what the next couple steps were, and that helped him greatly when it came to turning over the cash flows.
You know, one of the things that most people learn as they get older is that they weren't as smart as they thought they were, and experience really does make a difference. So it's interesting to talk to someone that's young. And the question is...
You talk to me every day, Neil. I'm kidding.
We're talking relative, right. So the question is, do you feel that there's any... benefit from working at a firm to get a little more humble than somebody who's 21 that thinks they can do anything?
I think that it's an immense opportunity. I can't tell you how many times that I've told my parents, like, hey, you were right, and I just thought you should know that because I was that teenager that thought I knew everything and could do everything how I wanted to. And I think that anyone who's going through their collegiate years should definitely take advantage of that now, because it will prepare you and show you the things that you just didn't quite see or wasn't quite sure about, or you know, you thought you might be a little bit better at putting on your professional face than you really are.
You're listening to Money Talk on the Santa Barbara News Press radio station, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Diane Duva with an invitation for you to enjoy a great dining experience at my favorite restaurant, the world-famous Arnaldi's Cafe, one of Santa Barbara's oldest and most intimate restaurants since 1940. It's located on the corner of Olive and Cota Streets in downtown Santa Barbara. Arnaldi's specializes in traditional home-style Italian food prepared with the freshest produce, finest quality meats and fish, and the very best imported Italian meats, cheeses, and olive oil, along with local fish and specials from our Santa Barbara Farmers Market, and an extensive wine list served in the unique atmosphere of a candlelit dining room. Arnaldi's also caters to weddings and rehearsal dinners, receptions, graduations, birthdays, holiday parties, or any special event, with two large dining rooms, a huge heated patio, fire pit, two bocce ball courts, and a stone barbecue with red oak wood. And Arnaldi's is happy to work with you to create a custom menu and handle any special requests. Visit Arnaldi's.com or call 805-962-5394. It's a fact. Successful wealth management is built on strategies that focus on the big picture, take a long-term view, and establish deep and valued relationships. Hello, I'm Diane Duva, founding partner at Arlington Financial Advisors, Santa Barbara's trusted family guide, empowering you to make more informed and confident decisions. At Arlington Financial Advisors, we bring order and balance to your financial life by monitoring and managing risk so you can focus on your work, family, and enjoying the moment. We are a fully independent firm offering strategic financial planning, estate and tax planning, and private money management. Our plans and portfolios are handcrafted using a rigorous and disciplined approach, supported by a consistent yet highly personalized client experience. Our clients look to Arlington Financial Advisors as a home away from home, a comfortable place to protect what they've accomplished while they prepare for what comes next. Please visit ArlingtonFinancialAdvisors.com or call me, Diane Duva, at 805-699-7300.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm founded on providing thoughtful, objective, and comprehensive financial guidance for families and entities who are seeking long-term financial confidence.
And we're in studio with Tyler Colin Byrne, my neighbor and my soon-to-be ex-intern at Arlington Financial Advisors. And so where did you go to college, Tyler?
I went to college at a school called Bentley University, just outside of Boston, in a nice little city called Waltham.
And your degree you had mentioned was in economics, correct?
Correct. And which I thought I never wanted because it was all theory. And then I could either do an entrepreneurship background in that or management. And I decided to go with econ. And then I got qualitative analytics on there and I fell in love immediately. And now I'm a huge data nerd. So you never know how that'll work out.
And so how would you say when you were back in Boston, you had a few internships, a few part-time jobs. How did those kind of help lead you back to California? What brought you back to paradise, as we like to call it here in Santa Barbara?
I think the storms just blew me right back. Like when you get on a plane here and it's 63 and you get off a plane there and it's 6 and you keep thinking there should be a second digit there, it's kind of hard to not come back as soon as you graduate. But I had a lot of roles in an investment committee out there for Bentley Investment Group. I was in the Bentley Entrepreneurship Society. I just put myself through as many things as I could, and then I got a job in sports technology out there. And that was wonderful. I was like the fourth person at the company, so I got a huge role there, and it was probably one of the most stressful things I've ever gone through. But it did give me a new understanding that there's a lot of things that go into making a job that you love, where it was the perfect industry. I grew up a diehard sports kid, still am. And just the whole environment didn't make it a perfect job for me. And so I ended up coming back to the place that I loved and realized that I could find something out here once I got back.
And so why did you decide on an internship rather than looking for a full-time job?
It just kind of fell into place for me. I get paid, so that does help a little bit instead of just being an unpaid intern. So, you know, that kind of helps. And I did consulting on the side once I came back. I took my trip to Europe after college and realized I didn't want to be geographically anchored somewhere. And the only thing that I could think of to do where I could do deliverables on the road was to do small business consulting. So I came back, and luckily my dad came on as my first client, and that let me have a little runway to go around town and meet some people and start actually doing consulting as a full-time job.
Now, would you say once you graduated, you came back to Arlington as a way to keep your foot in the door in the financial services because you knew that that's
absolutely
what you wanted to do?
Absolutely. You know, I don't think that there's ever a time that you should stop building your resume and growing. I mean, I think that's something you should do throughout life, in your personal life as well, as, you know, don't stop growing. But especially in the professional industry, where jobs that are entry level are going to have a 2 or 3 year experience minimum, which seems kind of wild because they're entry level jobs. And that just means that you have to stay on top of that. And it's not something that you can just dabble in and then walk out.
So what is it that you're going to be doing now?
I am going down to a company called Dimensional Fund Advisors, and I will be assisting their financial advisors service team. So I will actually still be working with Diane, just a little bit less frequently. And Dimensional is a mutual fund provider that's based on a four-factor model. They believe in long-term investments. So a lot of my work is to pick up some of the stress for our financial advisors, for firms like Arlington, and just try and add value in other ways instead of strictly investment philosophy.
What does the word mutual fund advisor providers mean? I've never heard that expression.
That means that we have a wide line of mutual funds that we sell down to financial advisors.
And why do financial advisors need someone to provide them with a mutual fund?
So let's back up for a minute, because what Dimensional is it's a mutual fund company that you can't buy unless you use an advisor. And they don't allow all advisors to use it. So many of the major wirehouses don't have access to Dimensional funds. They do it more of the independent registered investment advisor, and they put you the firms that they work with through a series of a training almost of how they see money management and what that means to them. And it's long term, and it's they're known for being deep value. And so those are the criteria, and your investment philosophy as a firm must align with theirs before they let you onto their platform.
Are there any other companies that do this?
Like Dimensional, very few. American Funds also does a advisor-only offering, but any advisor can use their offering through a firm. It's they don't go direct to consumer, but Dimensional is the only one that I know of that actually has these criteria in order for advisors to be allowed into their platform. And it is a unique experience. And the interesting story, I think, about that is we were down on our due diligence trip where you go down and you sit through a series of meetings and presentations about how they invest money, both on the bond side and the equity side, as well as, you know, how their investment philosophy rolls. They actually have an investment philosophy based upon Eugene Fama, which is a professor at the University of Chicago.
Random walk.
And he is their anchoring academic behind their philosophy of investment, the four-factor model. And so we went down there, and as I was there, I thought to myself, this is where Tyler needs to be, this firm. And Tyler, because I'm a big believer of people who grow up in Santa Barbara need to go out into, I like to call it the real world, and see what the real world's like so that they can actually appreciate how wonderful we have it here in Santa Barbara.
Boston wasn't hard enough.
That is where I'm from. And being, you know what it is being in school someplace isn't the same as living someplace. School is also an academic bubble, as I like to call it. And so when we were down there, I thought to myself, it just hit me, Tyler needs to apply for a job here. And so I came back and told him he needed to apply. I talked to our contacts back at Dimensional and said, hey, I have a candidate that I think would be great for you. And so
where is this? Is it New York?
They have offices on the East Coast. There's actually 18 offices worldwide, but I will be going to the Santa Monica one.
Oh, nice.
And so it's like halfway out of the bubble.
Yeah. Everybody keeps telling me that they're so sad I'm leaving. I'm like, I can make it back for dinner after I get off work. It's really not that far.
No, you can't. You ever try the traffic from Santa Monica?
Yeah, but I mean, if you eat like a late dinner at like 8:30, I could leave at 7.
Well, you know something, one of the advantages of doing this, and quite frankly, and I'm no longer a fan of New York, but one of the things that New York does offer is if you work in a very small community, you tend to get the same sandwich half a block away and talk to the same people. When I was in Wall Street and worked in New York, I can't tell you how many times I walked down the street and met a competitor or somebody in this same line of work, and we had quick conversations, and it really expands your horizons. There was a movement in the 70s for companies all to move to Westchester, which is a suburb of New York, and they had these campuses that tech companies now have where people would sit around and have the same lunch at the same table with the same people, and they found that really wasn't productive. You needed to be in a place where there was an energy that permitted people to think about new things, and so one of the things you'll get, maybe not as much as in New York, but in Santa Monica, is the ability to exchange ideas with people who don't sit at the same in the same office as you.
Which is important because, you know, I often say that sometimes when you start to be groupthink and you drink, you know, we jokingly say drink from the Kool-Aid,
right.
that you don't get to look at the whatever it is, the global markets or whatever it is, with different different vantage points, which is important.
What I find amazing is that years ago, when I got my MBA, we studied Eugene Fama.
Oh, did you?
And that's why I knew. And his big article, you know, was in his work, you know, with Mandelbrot and all the other people from the modern portfolio theory, which was the other side of the line, were the big names in investing. And it's amazing that he's still, you know, one of the profits all these years later. You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
St- Star Jasmine Music serves over 3,600 people per year. By providing a safe, supportive environment to explore music, you'll find a place that resonates within. We teach songwriting and how to play a variety of instruments. We have a Pro Tools state-of-the-art recording facility and provide opportunities for teens and young adults who show passion for music and demonstrate talent to record their work. This experience has been known to better one's self-esteem and often leads to development of skills in business and self-management. We have special programs for at-risk youth, as well as the mentally and physically challenged. When ready after a 10-week series, we record our students and give them a CD to show the fruit of their efforts. This experience leads to self-confidence. Visit us at www.starjasminemusic.org. Star Jasmine Music. Sharing music exploration through teaching and recording.
Need a new Social Security card? You probably don't, as long as you know your number. For all intents and purposes, your number is your card. Usually, providing your number and identifying information is enough. In the event that you really do want or need a replacement card for yourself or for a child, you can find all the details you need at the Social Security Number and Card page at www.socialsecurity.gov/ssnumber. This page provides information on how to obtain a replacement card and what specific documents you need to provide. Check it out if you really need a new card. But remember, you may just need to know your number. Your card is already in your head. Visit www.socialsecurity.gov/ssnumber.
Money Talk, brought to you by Arnaldi's Cafe, one of Santa Barbara's oldest and most intimate restaurants since 1937. Located on the corner of Olive and Coda Street in downtown Santa Barbara. I just want to make a point that when I said you needed to be in New York to walk down the street and talk to other people, the other place you could do it is go to lunch at Arnaldi's.
Or during any of the bocce ball games. There are lots of people there. Just talking.
Well, it's a friendly place. I mean, a place to go and talk and exchange an idea. So I think not only will you get a good meal at Arnaldi's, not only can you play bocce, but you'll get smarter. Can we say that? That by eating at Arnaldi's, you get smarter and get your horizons expanded?
Absolutely. Okay, I'm sure you'll love that. You just said it.
I just said it.
So of course you can say it. So if you're just joining us, we're in studio with Tyler Collenburn, one of Santa Barbara's finest, who's graduating and moving on down to Santa Monica. And talking a little bit about internships and where their place is in business. And so, you know, there is, Tyler, talk to us about what your thoughts are about internships and whether or not they should be paid. A lot of people offer an internship that's an unpaid internship, and some people really think that they should be abolished and that's, you know, not appropriate to have people work for free. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that it depends on the role that you have the intern in. You know, if you're getting viable experience that you probably wouldn't be able to get had you not gotten this internship, you know, like luckily for me, I got something that was very applicable and pushed me through my career, my early career so far. Then I see the point of it not being paid, especially if you're a collegiate student, you're probably only doing it 8 hours a week. You know, it's not too big of a sacrifice. My sports tech internship was unpaid. And I jumped for that one, you know, and I got to meet like Ryan Fitzpatrick and a couple of people like that. It was great. And it gave me huge experience that is on my resume. And I've gotten, you know, other soft offers to go back into sports marketing and things like that because I did that. But if it's a lot of just like go make the coffee and take out the trash kind of work, then you're basically just hiring a janitor and that should probably be paid.
You know, one of the things I learned, which is really difficult, is to be able to show weakness. So I'm going to show that I can show weakness. Who's Ryan Fitzpatrick?
He's the former Jets quarterback. No,
I didn't know that either. No.
Yeah, he's been the quarterback for quite a few teams. He went to Harvard, so they brought him in on a panel of athletes that I got to attend at Harvard Innovation Lab.
So, you know, that's such an important lesson for young people to learn is that it doesn't show weakness to ask. There are so many people, and I know this when I was teaching, that unless somebody asked the question, no one else would ask the question because they were afraid to be vulnerable. So sometimes I knew kids didn't know what I was talking about. So I say, does anyone know what I'm talking about? And then finally I got some hands. So to be able to ask, you know, what it is that you think you're supposed to know but you don't know is an important part of being an intern, so you'll actually learn something.
As the token young person in here, I entirely agree with that. I think that's one of the biggest things that I've learned is, like, know what you know and know what you don't know, and don't be afraid to ask. Because if you pretend like you know, and then you keep going later on, and it's actually a big deal, and it's a big client, and it's a big project, and they just toss it on your desk and go, yeah, well, you've done it before for something else, and now you don't know how to do it, and you make a mistake, you're in a totally different pond of hot water than you are. If you just reach up and be like, you know what, I kind of know how to do this, am I on the right path? Like, you can couch it a little bit so you don't feel stupid, but just don't be afraid to ask and be like, hey, can you just show me, like, you know, I think I might have it, but I'm not quite sure. And people will be happy to take those 2 minutes to tell you up front rather than have there be a mistake later on.
Agreed. There's nothing worse than when people pretend to know and in fact they don't.
Well, it's not
just
worse. It's that that's the way you learn. And,
yeah,
you know, the point is that as – you're not supposed to know everything, this is the perfect time. And I think one of the most egregious failings during the 2008 implosion were several big executives of the biggest banks that had the most trouble saying, you know, we just didn't understand the risk we were taking. And I think part of it was that 19-year-olds with slide rules in their pockets, I'll tell you what a slide rule is in a second.
I know what a slide rule is.
From MIT, were telling them that, you know, that we have these risk models and don't worry about it. And the executives, you know, who were the chiefs, didn't want to ask these kids what it was that they were actually doing.
And that is basically what led to the 2008 debacle, because they didn't know what risk they had on their balance sheet.
Exactly.
A great example is during the Merrill Lynch time. So they brought in Stan O'Neill was out and the new guy was in. What was his name?
Big guy. He was a big guy.
Well, I can't think of his name at the moment. This is my new thing past 40. Well, he came in and he got hired and he didn't even fully understand the risk, which is a real problem, because when you're in charge of what later turned out to be the fall of Merrill Lynch, you know, you need to know. You need to understand.
It's very I'm not making light of this, because I've been a perpetrator of having not the ego strength to ask. It's very difficult for senior people to say to young people, I don't understand what you're talking about. And it's such an important – in fact, it's probably one of the most important characteristics that somebody needs to succeed.
Absolutely. And it's important on all levels. And it was John Thane. I'd seen him speak. I finally got his name. But he goes down in history as – putting out of business one of the oldest financial, you know, Merrill Lynch, one of the oldest firms.
But he bounced back. It's just amazing. Huh? He bounced back and, you know, ended up the head of Beneficial Finance, and he's now, you know, flying high. So,
and if we're being honest, this is something that concerns me about cryptos a lot, like with Bitcoin and all these other currencies that are getting traded. Is that I've done a lot of research, because who didn't want to hop in on that and try and make that shot up to $17,000.
I think what would be better is the qualifier of what millennial didn't want to jump on that.
Right. And like, even I didn't understand it. Like, and I spent days trying to just sort through it, because I didn't want to jump in anything that I didn't know. And I see people that are betting the farm on something that there's no way that they have done their full research on.
So, you know, transitioning back to kind of Santa Barbara business and what do you see would help businesses? Do you think every business in town should offer internships to college students here? Or do you see that most internships should lead to full-time employment? You know, I'm a big proponent that you need to get out of town, so I was encouraging you that.
Right.
My partners were looking
from
at me like,
one,
Tyler
right.
is wonderful.
This is not
Why
for
are
you.
We trying to push him out, Diane?
Yeah, from day one, you were like, you are not staying here. I think that it's a size and fit kind of deal, that if there's room for an intern, then of course, why not? There's going to be somebody that's interested in everything. If you're a pottery salesman, if you're a pottery maker, pottery designer, there's going to be someone in that field that wants to come in as a young student. You know, you can go to City College. It's a great farm there. So is UCSB. But it depends on whether you have a role for them or whether they're just kind of going to be standing around, and then it's a waste of your time to try and give them something to do, and it's a waste of their time to be there.
What's interesting, though, is as I speak to a lot of people around town who are running businesses on State Street, whether it be retail or, you know, other types of businesses, they have a hard time finding people to employ. So that seems to be a big problem, which I can't quite figure out why, because we do have all these students in town that when you were in college, did many of your friends work or have paid internships or something along those lines?
I feel like it was more of the typical teenage jobs of like working retail, working service industry jobs where, you know, your hours are pretty flexible and you make good enough money to support your lifestyle. I did see that kind of disconnect when I was applying to jobs out of City College and out of, you know, when I was back in Santa Barbara, is that there's not really a robust market on campus where I think that there could be a platform that's built to kind of connect the local community to the local colleges here.
Like a off-campus work.
Yeah, or you know,
or
just like even like an office there that has like a web platform that you can go and access, because everything else was based through like Indeed or, you know, some job search website, and it's just all cluttered and you have no real idea what you're going to be applicable for, what you're going to meet the minimum requirements for, where if it's posted on a college website that you would know like, oh, this is an internship that I could probably get in a field that I actually want to be in. And I feel like, you know, we could kind of
that's
that
a great
issue.
Idea, because I know when I was in college, I worked part-time at the off-campus housing, you know, computer place. So, like, people would come in, log into the computer to see all the different housing options available. But you could do something like that for students.
And Bentley's was very on point. Like, I know probably half of my friends got jobs through our career platform. And then I got my internship by going to career services as well. And we kind of built a relationship. And she was like, this is a job for you. Go take this.
You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB. And we'll be right back with our final segment.
Hi, I'm Diane Duva with an invitation for you to enjoy a great dining experience at my favorite restaurant, the world-famous Arnaldi's Cafe, one of Santa Barbara's oldest and most intimate restaurants since 1940. It's located on the corner of Olive and Coda Streets in downtown Santa Barbara. Arnaldi's specializes in traditional home-style Italian food prepared with the freshest produce, finest quality meats and fish, and the very best imported Italian meats, cheeses, and olive oil, along with local fish and specials from our Santa Barbara Farmers Market, and an extensive wine list served in the unique atmosphere of a candlelit dining room. Arnaldi's also caters to weddings and rehearsal dinners, receptions, graduations, birthdays, holiday parties, or any special event, with two large dining rooms, a huge heated patio, fire pit, two bocce ball courts, and a stone barbecue with red oak wood. And Arnaldi's is happy to work with you to create a custom menu and handle any special requests. Visit Arnaldi's.com or call 805-962-5394.
For prospective homebuyers, one of the most important steps of the loan process is getting clear and honest information from someone who will speak plainly and truthfully about loan programs and options.
I'm Kelly Marsh, Vice President, California, of Cornerstone Home Lending, where our highly skilled and experienced team takes great pride in helping clients obtain home financing with honest, knowledgeable, fast, friendly, and efficient service. As a Santa Barbara native who has spent the past 20 years in the mortgage industry and has closed over 4,000 loans, I'd appreciate the opportunity to earn your business and invite you to visit thekellymarshteam.com or call my office at 805-563-1100 to learn more about how Cornerstone Home Lending can help you determine the best way to manage mortgage debt to achieve a more stable financial future.
Licensed by the Department of Business Oversight under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. California Residential Mortgage Lending Act license number 41DB072220. California Financial Lending Law license number 60DB072528. Loan originator NMLS number 245822. Not a commitment to loan. Equal housing opportunity.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm founded on providing thoughtful, objective, and comprehensive financial guidance for families and entities who are seeking long-term financial confidence.
So, Tyler, you know, for anybody out there that's looking for that internship to kind of dabble, to use one of your words, in a field.
Make it sound not serious.
To figure out basically if they want to go in that direction for their career, what would you recommend that they do?
honestly, since Santa Barbara has a little disconnect between students and employers, I would just look for companies that do what you want to do and then go ask. I know people that have gotten jobs in Santa Barbara because they literally showed up every day and asked if they had an opening yet. And at some point, they'll probably say yes, and it might just be a trial period and it might not work out. But if you really want to do that, Santa Barbara is a very open town to that. It's a very tight-knit community that does appreciate some effort.
That is very true. That's a great suggestion. That said, I don't want a line of 20 people standing at
right.
my door, right? So what other ways would you recommend besides, you know, reaching out obviously is the best and most direct. And
I mean, you can do it in a softer way. Like, you don't have to show up. You could just, like, email or call and be like, I'm a student that's working in this field and I would love to just stop by and have a meeting about an internship. Is that something you would offer?
That's a great idea, because when we get those, I often respond back, send your resume, and we'll keep you posted and let you know if something comes up.
Right.
Because most of the ways that we find our internships is through our previous intern. So every year we offer an internship, and some of them last longer than a year. Some of them leave, come back like you. and oftentimes we find the next one through the current one. Speaking of, have you found your replacement yet?
I heard there was already one that was getting interviewed.
<I'm kidding>.
Yeah.
So networking, because really.
I would agree with that too. My next recommendation would be to network with the people around you, the people that you know or your parents know or that live next door to you, as it may be, because Santa Barbara is such a one step removed community where everyone knows everyone through one person. It's not like a couple degrees of separation here of like, if I went to my mom and asked, like, who do you know in the wealth management industry, she would point me, if not you, then someone else. You know, there
would be no one else.
There would be no one else, but it does work like that in this town, that you can start like finding leads just by networking and going out and putting yourself out there. That's like one of the biggest things, is that you can't be scared to ask what you don't know, and you can't be scared to go and put yourself out there and ask for something too.
And that exercise is really an important skill, because I found the most productive way to get business in any area is to be involved in networking. Networking really works. And you quite frankly don't know where business comes from. If you start networking, it may be three people away who remember, who talk about you from your last encounter. So mm-hmm. the skill of looking for an internship is a skill that will do you well over your entire career.
It was interesting. I was just reading an article on networking and how many people mistake networking as selling all the time. But really what networking is all about is creating relationships where people know you, like you, and trust you. And so that's really something that's important in the business world, to get out there, not to just be self-serving and create new business, but you really never know what opportunities are going to come your way.
I'll give you a great example. 6 months from now, somebody will say to me, you know, I need somebody to be a junior analyst, and it's really tough to find a qualified financial guy in this town who can do that. The only response I'd have, well, I interviewed this intern from Arlington Financial. Let me see if he's available.
Please
So this show you did may, in fact, somehow down the road connect you with someone that we didn't even think existed. And that's what networking is. Networking is showing up to the show. Networking is having coffee with people, not selling yourself, but actually being being in engaged.
Engaged and trying to help them, really. It's about giving back.
Yeah. So, and therefore, my final comment, because we're out of time, is that in order to succeed in any business in this town, you must listen to this show.
That's a given.
Anyway, thank you so
Thanks
much.
Thanks so much for being
thank
here,
Thank you
Tyler.
So much for having me.
You've been listening to Money Talk on AM 1290, and we'll see you next week. Yeah.